In this episode, we get to introduce you to two amazing cheer athletes, Emma Headley and Matt Stevenson, whose careers range from Team Canada, University of Kentucky, and more. Don't miss it.
Welcome to the Hit Zero Podcast, where our goal is to build better cheer athletes.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Hit Zero Podcast. I've got a couple of really awesome guests with me. We were doing some filming today, creating some content for you guys. When we do our game films, a lot of times we have coaches and athletes will ask about, you know, an example of how to do things properly. And so it's always been something that I've wanted to create, kind of a library of skills. So this weekend we got to film a lot of co-ed stunting that we're going to be making a skills library for athletes and for coaches. So before these two awesome athletes got out of here, I wanted to get them and sit down and introduce them to you guys, since you guys will probably be seeing a lot of them in our game film videos and just using them for just reference for skills. But with me is Emma and Matt, and I'll let them kind of jump in and introduce themselves and tell about, you know, kind of where they're from. So I got a point from Emma to Matt, so he has to go first. So give us a background, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got up to this point with your cheer career.
All right. So, like you said, my name is Matt Stevenson. My cheer career was a little bit different than a lot of people I know, but I started out, did All-Star when I was in high school for a few years, and then I ended up cheering for Texas State University. Then I went to University of Kentucky for this past year, and then now I'm cheering at Texas Tech University.
And is there... what's the story behind the multiple colleges and multiple schools?
So I kind of got into college cheerleading a little bit later in college. So I took a 2-year break for my first 2 years of college, and then kind of bumped into some cheerleaders one day out at Texas State on campus, and they kind of like dragged me back into cheer. So I cheered at Texas State to finish my undergrad, and then when I finished there, I got offered a scholarship to go to Kentucky and couldn't turn that down. So I spent a year there. Miss Texas, so I'm going to Texas Tech to do my master's.
Okay, what are you getting your master's in?
Business administration.
Very cool. How different is it from college to college? I mean, obviously you've got kind of the mecca of collegiate cheer in your resume, and then some other not bad programs by any stretch of the imagination. So what's the biggest differences between these colleges that you've experienced, or like just maybe the experience there as an athlete?
Yeah. Well, I mean, coaching styles are always so different. I mean, our coach at University of Kentucky coaches way different than the coach at Texas Tech University. And, you know, different things work. And so that's really cool to see how different styles of coaching work for different athletes. Mm-hmm. But I'd say that's probably the big difference. And then also too, a lot of like the mindset of the athletes. So obviously, you know, certain universities have, you know, a more competitive mindset, or maybe they're more geared towards the game day aspect, and they just take different things a little bit more serious than others.
Right. It gives you a different look too.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's this, it's always been this way, this polar, you know, separation between All-Star and sideline. And you go to a program like a Kentucky that does both exceedingly well, you know, competition, not so much All-Star, but just the competition side exceedingly well. I'm sure it probably was a whole lot to take in, transitioning from one to another and trying to, as an athlete, prepare yourself for each expectation.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, I feel like at Texas State, game day was a little bit more of what they were focused on. Mm-hmm. But I just loved, I loved to partner stunts. So that was something I just tried to practice as much as I could. I had a really good friend of mine gave me a tip. On how to get better at partner stunting. He said stunt every single day, whether that's 30 minutes and you just throw some basics. Mm-hmm. But he said stunt every opportunity you get, because the more you do it, the more just comfortable you feel underneath the stunt, and then eventually it just all feels like, you know, second nature.
I'm glad you said that, because, you know, the last episode we did was top 7 tips for partner stunting. Mm. And one of the tips was stunt often.
Yeah.
And just any chance you get, exactly like you said. So knowing is, you know, the success that you've had in your career, to hear you say that as well, just kind of drive that point home that you can't get good doing it unless you do it, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Moment of truth. Miss Emma.
Well, my name is Emma Headley. I'm actually from Vancouver, Canada, and I come from a gymnastics background. So I did competitive gymnastics for 10 years.
Okay.
And then I made the transition to cheerleading, and I cheered in All-Star for about 7 years, and I cheered in Canada, in Australia, and in Texas. After that, I decided to cheer in college, so I cheered at Navarro College in 2018, and then this past year, I cheered at the University of Kentucky, and now I'm also attending Texas Tech to okay. cheer for them.
So you got a couple of big rings in your collection as well. So, you know, obviously, again, same thing, different styles of cheer, Kentucky versus Navarro. What differences as an athlete were kind of same kind of thing? Like, what are the biggest things you noticed from one experience to the other?
One of the biggest differences between, you know, Navarro, which is a junior college, and Kentucky, which is, you know, a four-year university, mm-hmm. They are a lot more nitpicky about game day, because that's how they get funded in university. Like, game day is huge. Obviously, football and basketball, you know, there's a lot of sponsors there watching. There's cameras on us everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then just practice-wise, like, it's a lot more business. You're here to do your job. And then once you're done, you're good to go. But
yeah.
And also, UCA is a lot more co-ed stunting heavy. So they focus a lot more on elite skills than I ever have in the past.
Right.
And they just really want to make sure that everyone looks exactly the same
yeah.
all the time. Perfect technique.
And a couple of things you touched, you know, I've never heard of a gymnast that tried to go to cheer and didn't make a team. We used to be a joke when I first started cheer. There were, you know, I started at a gymnastics gym trying to learn how to tumble. Yeah. And I heard somebody say that one time. They were kind of making fun of cheerleading. One of the girls was like, I'm going to go out for the cheerleading team. I go, well, at least you know you'll make it, right? There's always this expectation that, you know, you did gymnastics, that you're going to be an awesome cheer athlete. And one other thing that I'm glad that you touched on was the fact that, you know, one was a junior college, one's a university. You know, for some of our less experienced athletes, you know, you don't have to seek out these crazy big universities to have a successful cheer career, to find high-level talent. Because, I mean, the junior college spectrum of the sport, I mean, there's some really, really good junior
yeah.
colleges out there.
Sure.
That, you know, you don't always have to, you know, I want to go to Moorhead or Louisville or Kentucky, and if I don't, then I'm not going anywhere, right?
Well, and that's the thing about junior college, too, like, especially just with my experience with Monica, like, she's really good at seeing, you know, technique and potential and work ethic, so she's taken multiple girls who've never flown before, and then their first year they're in the elite competing
wow.
on mat.
It's really cool. Competing UCA and NCA, which competition did you like more? That's hard to say, but, you know, not throwing shade on anybody, but everybody has when they look back and they're like, dude, that was the year. That was my competition.
I think personally, I like NCA a little bit more. I just like the environment. And I think I like the style a little bit more too, but yeah, I just like the environment. I think it's really cool getting, like, being
in the band
like
shell.
This on the beach.
Yeah,
yeah. So
that's pretty, as it's a cool place. It's hard
yeah.
to beat that, you know. What about you?
I think it definitely depends on the program. But for me, I do personally like UCA better.
Okay.
Because I love partner stunting, but it always depends on, you know, your teammates, your coach, you know, things like that.
Gotcha. So, you know, we talk about what we did here today with our filming and skills-wise. What are some of your favorite things that you like to work on specifically? What are things you feel like your best skill, things you're, you know, kind of your go-to? And then talk about also some challenges, you know, because a lot of these, you know, it's easy to get on social media and show the best of the best, you know, but there's things
yeah.
that as athletes, you know, even at a high caliber athletes have to work on. So touch on, like, what's the thing that you like the most, that you feel like you're the best at, and what's something that maybe you struggled with a bit before you were able to master it that, you know, helped kind of chisel you down as an athlete?
I guess the skills I like the most, probably my favorite has got to be hand in hands. It was the first elite I ever learned, and really for the longest time it was kind of the only one I could do kind of consistently, and so I just love it. I just enjoy it. I think it's a really cool stunt.
Very visual.
Yeah. I also really like intermediate skills, lots of like spinning, switching together. I just think, personally, I think one of my fortes is I kind of grip work and just being able to move a little faster to catch that immediate grip, or that 1 foot is mm-hmm. when I need to.
Yeah, it's amazing how some of the ones that look harder to do are actually some of the lesser challenging skills. You know, yeah. When you're talking about like the rewind versus yeah. layout rewind, you know, one looks way more visual. Yeah. And it's way easier.
Yeah.
Than the other.
Yeah. I mean, some stunts are just like, well, I'm sure you know this, but just simpler. Yeah. It's kind of a throw and catch. Others, there's just so many more. I guess like three-dimensional probably a good way to put it, like a low to high full round, mm-hmm. and just moving in so many different directions and then having to turn your hands to catch that foot early.
But yeah, more moving parts.
Yeah, yeah.
What about something that either it took you maybe a little bit more work than you expected, or for being honest, something you're just not a fan of? Aside from tumbling.
Yeah, yeah. Not a big tumbler, unfortunately. I would say just working on, for me personally, like working on my speed, like trying to be a little faster, especially being a little bit taller. I just have to be a little bit faster to get the flyer over me when I'm doing elite stunts. And then just like figuring out that timing of like driving my elbows up over me before I stand up in an elite stunt. And mostly for me, that problem has been in rewinds. Hasn't been as much of a problem in like learning back handstrings or front handstrings, but definitely rewinds. So, but again, just reps. Yeah. Just keep working and practicing.
I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, the point of being taller, because, you know, there are some taller male athletes that do struggle with stunts, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, they're always, you know, the question is, what do I do, right? What do I, like, what's the one thing I need to improve upon? And a lot of times it's, you know, technique and strength things, but hearing speed mm-hmm. from somebody that's taller, I mean, that's a good point to stress to some of these athletes who may be thinking like, well, I'm getting stronger in the gym, I'm stunting more, why am I still not improving? Maybe yeah. that's something that they should focus on, yeah. you know, as a big part of that.
Yeah, and something to add to that. So I was I did personal training for almost 5 years, and just looking at like the different ways of training, I feel like especially in cheerleading, if you do weight train, for guys, you should focus a lot more on like speed work. So a lot of like Olympic lifts, power cleans, and not focusing so much on like how heavy you can go, but focusing on technique always, so you prevent injuries, but being explosive, because again, I mean, flyers are only they're not going to weigh, you know, as much as like two plates on a barbell,
right?
So again, you just got to be fast, and that just takes practice too with stunting. Every time when you stunt, when you do a toss, every time think, go as fast as I can, as fast sure. as I can, and eventually sure. it becomes easy to be fast.
I agree. What about you? What's your favorite thing you like to do, thing that you like to show off the most?
I think my favorite skill that I like to do is a double up.
Okay.
Because I like to, I like that I can do it with a lot of different kinds of people, whether they're short or tall.
Mm-hmm.
I just like spinning, and I love like front one and a halves.
Okay.
Just love to spin.
Very visual, yeah. It's amazing, you look at like double ups now, double ups are almost like the full up from 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
I remember back when I was cheering, like a full up was like, oh yeah, full
That's
up.
The expectation and that you have it now.
Yeah, somebody hits a double up and it was like, what, like, you rewind it, like, wait a second, what was that? And now you see people do triple ups, and even that, you're like, oh, that's impressive. But it's not like, oh my god.
Everyone's just throwing a double up in a sequence.
Yeah.
You know, like something.
And I think, you know, one thing I've really liked watching in our sport, you know, as the evolution has happened, is what social media has done to the skill level and how
it's
fast.
Just really raised the bar.
Exactly, because, you know, beforehand you had to get a camera out and you had to film it, and then you had to download it to your computer, and then it was a process that nobody wanted to go through. And so when you had videos like old Kentucky videos that we were talking about earlier from back in the day, where, you know, you're like, wow, like this was like the only thing that's out there and it's huge. And then nowadays, like in a split second, you can see somebody doing any skill you want. And I think it, like you said, it raises the bar, because now you realize, you know, other people are doing this, so it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, and where a lot of those things, I know, hand skis, like I would have never, you know, the hand ski full around.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You think that that's not possible. Nobody can do that, right? People are doing it, so pretty cool. What's your biggest victory as athletes? What's the thing that you like when you look back as like your defining moment as a cheer athlete?
Well, for me, I mean, I'd have to say there's two pretty big victories for me. The first one was winning Top Gun partner son at the SMU NCAA summer camp. Would have been last summer. That was just amazing for me because partner stunting is why I cheer. Because I love stunting. I just love to stunt. And I've always wanted to compete partner stunt, and even getting to compete, you know, at the NCAA camp, that was amazing. And winning that, especially being, you know, at a school that doesn't have the name quite like, you know, like other schools that were there at that camp that I competed against. So that was really cool. It was a really surreal moment. And the second one was getting offered to go to University of Kentucky. That was just, I never even thought that was possible. I just went to a clinic because I thought I could learn something new there, and It just led to a whole new journey. So that was definitely just very unexpected, but definitely my biggest victories.
Probably catch you off guard a bit when you're at Kentucky and get offered.
Yeah, I was like in disbelief. I remember just being like, no way, like you're not serious, like there's no way. So, but that was cool, and it was a great experience. Definitely glad it happened.
That's
so
awesome. What about you? What's your biggest victory, or kind of defining moment as an athlete?
I think probably my biggest victory in cheerleading was in 2018 when I was on Class 6 at CA, and I just really loved the team so much, and it was one of like the best seasons I'd ever had, and I learned so much, and we actually ended up winning Worlds that year, and we had an undefeated season, which is just kind of like the cherry on top of,
yeah,
you know,
it's incredible.
Perfect team, perfect year.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and you realize, like, you know, as the sport continues to grow, you realize how hard it is to do something like that, right? It's not like, you know, there's so many variables that go into each individual competition, and then to be able to stack a season to where, like, you hit it every single time.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, it's incredible. It's like pitching a perfect game for an entire season, right?
Yeah.
Every single game. So that's huge. That's, for those, I wish every team, I know there's, you know, obviously you got your, you know, teams with lower levels and things. I wish every team could have the opportunity to experience Worlds.
Yeah.
You know, or at least go, whether you're competing or not, because it's such the stage is so much different than anything else, right? I mean, you could, collegiate nationals and high school nationals and all that stuff, all-star nationals, but there's just something special about Worlds weekend.
Yeah, and Worlds is, it's amazing though, because you're like in this little bubble of cheerleading, and like everything else in your life is kind of, you know, separate and like not part of your week at Worlds, and like getting to go every year and see all your friends from different places.
That's cool. Nice. Get to catch up with folks. All right, we're gonna take a break for just a second. We'll be right back with our last couple of questions. Stick with us. Hey, thank you so much for your support for the Hit Zero podcast. Truly could not have done it without Anchor. Anchor has an incredible platform where you can record, edit, and distribute your podcast all from your phone. You guys would be surprised how many episodes I have done from start to finish and distributed it from my phone. It's really, really, really incredible. Now, what you have to do is you can either go to anchor.fm. That's their website. You can go there, you can get started, or you can download the Anchor app. It's available in all of the app stores that you can get for your phone, and you can start right away. And believe it or not, you can actually make money from your podcast, and you don't even have to have a certain amount of listeners. Just by having one listener, you can start to make money from your podcast. So if you're interested in making a podcast, check out anchor.fm or check out the app store, download Anchor, and I cannot wait to hear your first episode. All right, guys, we're back with Emma and Matt for last couple of questions before Matt has to get out and go do a private lesson. So one question I'm curious of, any plans for like Team USA and kind of that whole realm of the sport? Because that's, I mean, it's kind of the pinnacle, right, is being on that floor.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's always been, I'll just say like a dream of mine. I always thought it would be amazing to be a part of Team USA. And definitely, if the opportunity arises to where things kind of fit for me, like to try out, I definitely am planning on it. But again, I've got other goals that I want to focus on, and eventually, hopefully, that'll lead me to trying out for Team USA. But I mean, we'll see. Again, I just gotta focus on the current things right now, and that can come on a little bit later.
Gotcha. How about you?
Well, I'm Canadian.
Oh.
So
that's right.
For me, I've already competed on Team Canada twice.
Oh, cool.
Which was a great experience.
Yeah.
Like, Team Canada's probably one of my favorite teams ever.
Now, do they have co-ed inaugural?
Yes, they okay. do.
Did you
and
do
I did
both?
Co-ed for 2 years.
Okay.
And I did that prior to moving down to Texas.
Okay.
And it was just a really great experience for me because that was where I, like, really started to get into co-ed stunting.
Okay.
And, like, I really found, like, a love for cheerleading through that and, like, through Team Canada.
Sure.
I think it would be great to go back to Team Canada one day, especially since they've gotten so much better since I've, you know, been on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be really cool to represent my country again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So looking, I'm glad that's a cool perspective. I didn't put two and two together, but we all, you know, we've all seen kind of the background of like Team USA, but not a lot of us have seen like the background with Team Canada and, you know, the way things are done there. So I'm sure you've seen or heard about at least enough about Team USA to know the differences. And
yeah.
So what experiences have you had with Team Canada, with, you know, kind of leading up to that versus like the Team USA that we kind of have all seen in social media?
Well, one of the biggest differences with Team Canada, or just in Canada in general with cheerleading, we don't really have college cheer.
Okay.
Like, it's just not a thing. And if it is, it's, you know, not anywhere close to the level that it is in the States.
Gotcha.
So we don't really have, you know, people who spent 4 or 5 years at a, like, university cheering to, you know, pick from. We're kind of just finding people however we can, messaging people. Like, it's really hard to, like, recruit people because, like, well, first, Canada's so big and, like, there's so fewer people,
right.
So fewer athletes. And we just also don't have the same kind of knowledge or the same kind of, like, coaches who have that kind of knowledge about cheerleading that you guys do down here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, at least for me and my friends, we would stunt, you know, every weekend and be working on a skill. And you're like, okay, well, what do you think happened? I don't know. What do you think happened? I don't know. You want to try it again for the next year? Okay.
Very cool. So it's kind of like the Wild Wild West.
Yes.
Kind of, you know, cutting your own path.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Advice to younger athletes. If you give, like, one piece of advice to young athletes, what would it be?
Focus on the little things. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but a lot of that cliche advice is really good advice. But focusing on, for me, an example would be focusing on, like, basic stunts, IME stunts, because, again, that's the foundation. Like, that's what you can do at game day. You're not going to do a lot of rewinds. You're not going to do a lot of hand skis or front one and a half. So it's always basics and intermediate skills, and that's the foundation for those bigger skills. So, again, even if you're talking tumbling or anything else, always just focus on that foundation, and then once that's really strong, it gets easy to learn everything else after that.
Cool. Emma?
If I could tell younger athletes, or like myself as a younger athlete, I would probably tell them to believe in themselves a bit more, because I know for me, I never pictured myself moving down here and making certain teams that I have or accomplishing a lot of things that I did. I thought I was done with cheerleading. I thought I was going to retire, go to school, and that was that. But I wish I had, you know, pushed myself a little bit harder and, you know, in a way, like, known that I could have gone this far. So I just could have believed in myself a bit more.
Being a little bit more optimistic about what potential.
Yeah.
Know, recognizing.
I think you're able to be as good as you want to be, because if you want it bad enough, you will work hard enough for it.
I love it. No, that's huge. And that's, I mean, there's such a, our sport is unfortunately so full of, you know, exceedingly high expectations that, you know, presented in the wrong way to an athlete can be,
yeah,
very intimidating versus uplifting. So, you know, it's unfortunately the demons in our sport that we can't, you know, avoid. Yeah. Body image issues and, you know, overuse injuries and, you know, just oppressive coaching. I mean, unfortunately it's not everywhere, but it does exist. So I'm glad that you brought that point up. And the last question, because again, I don't want to get these guys out of here. They've been here all morning. And we were joking about it in the break about whether we were going to ask this question, but it's part of life, so we're going to ask. So if you've noticed how well these two communicate together and stunt together, you probably could have pieced together that they are a couple. So what is it like working with someone, stunting, cheering with someone that you're dating? Is it harder? Does it give you an extra level of, like, trust and, like, just, well, what do you guys think?
Cheer sports season was that was very early
a
on
test. Yeah,
and so that was a very very big challenge, very big obstacle early on in the relationship.
Yeah.
Because we were stunt partners for both elites. We spent every day together.
Yep.
And, you know, stunts don't always hit. We're not perfect. So, you know, we have each other we're talking to, trying to figure it out. We have teammates yelling at us. We have coaches yelling at us. Everyone giving their opinion. And then, you know, we're just trying to take it in and getting yelled at for not communicating more when we're just trying to hit our stunts. So it's not always easy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's nice because you always have somebody to stunt with. So so that's nice.
No excuses.
Even if they don't feel like stunning, you can still drag them out. But, yeah, like you said, we were partners this past year. And that definitely was like a test and some and a challenge. But, again, a big part of that is just obviously because we are dating, like, we have a different level of communication. We can get, I mean, sometimes you do get, like, annoyed, especially, like, while stunting. And that's just part of it, is just because you communicate so much that
right.
you let that out a little bit. But I think part of it is just one, try not to take it like too seriously. I mean, take it seriously. Like, personally is a perfect word. Yeah. But again, still like talk about it, but let it go. Like, don't drag it. Don't bring it out of practice. Like,
sure.
I mean, we had moments where we would leave practice and we'd
just get in
super
the car.
Frustrated, just get in the car and just
leave it in the gym if we really did.
Well,
so,
you wanna that practice eat? Was rough. Let's go get some food.
Yeah.
And then just try to leave it behind because, again, it happens and you know, you're going to get frustrated.
The day,
but
it's just cheerleading.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and because you guys had a different level, you know, layer of connection, what advice would you give, you know, for not people that are dating that mm-hmm. cheer together, but just like couples that work together a lot?
Yeah,
you know,
partners.
Since you guys have, you know, you're kind of another level, you know. What advice would you give those that are just partners?
Definitely be open-minded.
Yeah, be open-minded.
To suggestions.
Yes.
And to at least try it once or twice, and then if it doesn't work, you know,
yeah.
it doesn't work.
But also try to be very, like, respectful, too. I mean, again, it's different when if you're just partners because you don't know each other. You may not know each other as well as you would if you were dating. It's harder to be... If you don't know someone that well, it's harder to be, I feel like harder to be rude or aggressive towards them.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely be respectful because, again, you're both learning and it's not always easy. Yeah, be respectful and then, like you said, be open-minded. Listen to the other person because they may feel something that you don't in the stunt, and then just take it and try it. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Yeah.
That's great advice. Anything? Sound good?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think so.
Well, we're going to let these two get out of here. So glad to get to introduce them to you guys. And for those that aren't familiar with them or their abilities, we're going to have links in the show notes to their social media. And again, you start seeing some of the videos come out with demonstrations of stunts. These are the two that are doing them. So thank you guys so much for filming and for stopping
for
an interview. We'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Yeah.